Are you pressing record or am I? Oh, you've done it. Nice. Good morning, everyone. Hope you're all well. I'm here again today with Keith, and we are going to be discussing some things that you need to know about pace. Keith put the intro music on a bit quicker than I thought. That caught me off guard a bit. But it's okay. It's okay. I'm in a good mood. Look, I got my Nespresso order through the other day, and they just added a few random nice cups to it, which that's, you can see.
You probably spent about 10, 15 grand, so they thought, we'll just give him some.
It would be a scary bit of research, that, how much I've ploughed into coffee, I think, since about 2010. Yeah, it's worrying. But, you know, if you like something, I believe in doing it properly.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
You go through your phases, don't you? As tea pigs, you were writing articles for them at one point, weren't you?
Yeah. So I like tea. I like green tea. I like oolong tea. And I thought, right, whilst I'm playing cricket, what can I do, you know, to kind of improve my lifestyle or whatever? And I thought, how about I try and get free tea so I don't keep having to fork out loads of money on tea? So they basically said, yeah, look, write a couple of articles and we'll give you a few bits of tea. But they kept giving me matcha, which is obviously the green powder, and I wanted like some oolong tea bags and stuff. So that relationship, it ended. neither the company or myself were getting what we wanted from it. So we parted ways, Keith.
Never mind, mate.
So where do we start then with pace? Because it's a really huge topic, isn't it?
It is. It's the most exciting thing, isn't it, when we watch games being played or watch from a distance someone bowling in nets and they've got pace. It's always exciting to see people bowling quick, seeing batters scamper for their lives. it just adds a little bit more to the game and makes it really thrilling to watch. And if you've got pace, it's also very exciting because it's almost like you're showing off a little, you're peacocking a little bit, aren't you?
Yeah, no, that's true. What speed is actually quick? There's one, because you know when you see people described as fast, medium fast, medium fast, like, what in your head, forgetting all those titles, what is actually quick, do you think?
I don't know, because I'm going to go from many times I've played and I think, God, that person looks quick, and one batter will come in. I don't know if it's their ego, a little bit of ego. Yeah, no, they're all right. They're like medium, the meds. And you're facing, you're going, that's quicker than medium. That's some good yards behind them there. But I think from what you'd see on TV and stuff like that, I'd say somewhere around mid-80s, 85, 86, I'm starting to think, yeah, okay, they've got a good yard of pace. And then anything after that, yeah, it gets a bit scary, doesn't it?
Yeah, you try to avoid batting against those. That's the only reason we've set this podcast up, is to attract bowlers 85 and above into our community and then negotiate that they just pitch it up to us. Now, you know what? I remember when I was at Middlesex as a young lad, we had a guy called Jason Pooley, who was like the second team coach, and he basically said, 85 mile an hour, bit of a way swing, that's a proper bowler. And you know what? I've always remembered that. And I reckon, I'm going to throw it out there, near enough, I reckon if you bowl 85 and above and you can move the ball, whether it's a little bit of seam, a little bit of swing, and if you had a back of the hand slower ball, I reckon you'd be a professional. That, I really believe that. 85 and above is certainly a level at which that's sharp. And like you just touched on there, though, you can't listen to what batters say because batters have all got egos, haven't they? So they constantly, there'll be someone bowling quick and they'll play it down. And then they'll say stuff like, I'd rather face Darren Stevens than Brett Lee. And you're like, no, you wouldn't.
Oh, you mean they'd rather face Brett Lee than Darren Stevens?
Yes, sorry. Yes.
Yeah.
In my head, I'm like, look, Darren Stevens is a wonderful bowler, but 100% of the time, I'm rather bat against Darren Stevens. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
At least Steve Ian. Who's the quickest you faced?
I would say Plunkett when he was firing all cylinders at Yorkshire, and Joff Archer when we played Sussex last season at Warwickshire. There are a few others I think I've faced. I think Tamal Mills I've faced pre-season. I think it was his first pre-season with Essex, and he's running and bowled. He's bowled a few, and I've gone to like cut him hard, kind of just in front of point, and I've like ended up going between slip and gully. But it looked like I'd meant to, I reckon. And then we were out in Barbados, I think, that evening, and me and him ended up chatting. He asked me how I thought he bowled. And I was like, yeah, not bad. Your pace is up there. He went, oh, no, I'm only back to 70%. I thought, forget that.
I was there. I think I was there when we were having that chat.
I thought, oh, my God, there's me trying to cut him in front of point and just getting it between slip and gully. And he's literally just warming up. But there,
I've got a good Tamal story, actually. So at Chelmsford, you know, you net on the square.
Yeah.
And there was a second team game. And for whatever reason, a lane opened up. And I don't normally have a hit, but a lane opened up. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to have a hit here. You know what I mean? It was just someone throwing, because it was throwing back then. It wasn't stick. And I think it was Kyle Jarvis, who obviously played for Zimbabwe and he was Lancashire, but he was trialing at Essex.
Very good bowler.
Very good bowler. Not the quickest, though, right? Mm. So I was like, yeah, I'll have a hit. I'll have a net this morning. Anyway, Tamal rocked over late and was like, oh, I'll have a quick bowl. And I was like, I didn't have all my kit on. Do you know what I mean? I literally just had helmet, thigh pad, and he hit me on the forearm, and I swear he broke my arm. Yeah. Didn't play.
What do you mean you didn't have all your kit on? So as in,
well, I had like pads, box, thigh pads, helmet, gloves, but
the
usually
bit.
I'd have a chest guard and an arm guard on as well. But I was a bit cocky. I was like, yeah, I'll just smash these throws. I'll take on the trialist, start to feel good. And Tamal rocked over and just basically hit me. wrote me off.
I'm trying to think of any other there are, but especially facing Jofra, I think he wasn't even putting in, but I think because you're aware of what could come your way, that's the next level of pace, is where you're not really giving everything you've got, but people are aware of what could come if they get it wrong.
Yeah, that's okay. So this is a really interesting place to start, because you've got bowlers, and obviously this is hopefully helpful to people, but you've got bowlers who are known to be quick and they are out and out fast. Now for those guys, it's almost how you utilize and harness that reputation. So like Archer, to be honest, that was a slow pitch as well at Hove, if I remember.
Yeah.
But like you say, you knew he had it in him, and actually he just had to do his thing and hit his areas. I mean, obviously it's still quick, but he didn't even really bowl that much short stuff, if I remember. So you've got guys like that who can use their reputation. And then at the other end of the spectrum, you've got guys who aren't perhaps quick. And actually, this is the majority, right? Let's be honest. This is the majority of bowlers. They're not over 85 and rapid, but they've got to use effort balls and short balls, and they've got to surprise batters with pace. And in some respects, that can be equally as effective, I think. I don't know what your view is.
Yeah, that's your bowler that really knows what they're doing. So it can, I think, for a batter's point of view, it can be a bit more worrying to face, because you know they've got control at a good pace, but then when the time's right for them and when they feel that they've sniffed a little bit of blood, that they will then, you know, ramp it up with a quick short ball, and that can put the batsman on edge and give a better chance of getting a wicket. So there is that type of bowler. And I think that's really important for any bowler. no matter what your speed is, but more for the bowlers that aren't that quick, if you've got a surprising bouncer that can be quick enough to surprise someone, that's kind of all you need in regards to just unsettling the batsman a little bit, keeping them on their toes. But yeah, pace, I think we all, every bowler, even if they were quick, even the quickest bowlers would like another half a yard extra of pace. It's something that I think everyone wants. We see a lot of people online talking about pace and trying to promote pace and everyone just following that crowd. It's something that people just can't get enough of.
Yeah, I certainly think pace puts bums on seats. And like you said at the start, I think it arguably is the most exciting form or skill in the game. I think like Shoaib Akhtar running in his peak, Alan Donald and that spell at Mike Atherton, they're kind of iconic periods of the game, aren't they? In terms of speed, I think captains are really important here. And I apologise now in advance for this podcast jumping around because it's such a big topic. But the captain's really important in how he uses a quick bowler. So, for example, you probably can't bowl your fast strike bowler an eight over spell at the start of the day. Do you know what I mean? There's an element of utilizing short bursts of pace just because of the physical limitations and things like that. I think we played with someone like Boyd, didn't we? Boyd Rankin at Warwickshire.
Yeah.
And all the captains were always really, really smart with how they used him and sort of saved him, for, like you said, for the right times.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that's just speaking on captains and whichever quick bowlers are that are out there. It's very easy to get the tag of you being quick and you just come on and bit of shock value, bounces, round the wicket, all that stuff, which, don't get me wrong, there are times for it. But how and when you use that mode of bowling, I think you've got to be careful because I've seen some players over the years who have pace and they get tagged with this person who just comes on and bowls bounces when actually they've got way more to them than just doing that. That can hit an area, swing it both ways or whatever. But because they've exposed themselves to being like almost a one-trick pony, they then get tagged with that. And then if they're not bowling that way, the captain can get a bit annoyed, take them off, almost saying, you know, you're not sticking to the plan or whatever. And also for especially younger lads, you get a lot of young lads coming through a ball pretty quick and get used, I think, wrongly, where it can be the first spell and they bowl three overs of just bounces. And then because they're not used to the ramp-up in games and trying to bowl quick so often, they end up getting injured. So you've got to be careful how much you use your pace in the right way. Like something we're going to talk about is going through the gears. So when you're going through the gears, it's always, I think the best bowlers are always able to kind of work within 80 to 85% bowling sharp enough. And if they get a wicket or the time's right, they are able to ramp it up where all of a sudden now the batter is really on edge of, you know, this is quite frightening or very attacking kind of bowling. Field's been set differently. And doing that for a certain period of time, and if it works, they've got a wicket, carry on. If not, being able to come back down into the gears and make sure they're still able to be, you know, testing the batsman differently. You can't just be out and out constantly giving 100%, because if you play game after game as we do, something's going to go wrong down the line, some sort of injury, you know, and you kind of look and go, was it worth it? I've seen certain old teammates of mine have back issues, which they still struggle with now, all because they were exposed to just bowling short for a long period of time early on in their careers, and it's just gone against them.
Yeah, it's I hear you. We actually talked to me before the podcast about going through the gears, and we talked about Dan Worrell, who is a bowler who at the moment we love basically. If he's listening, please, we'll drop you a DM. Come on the podcast. My experience of him basically was a couple of years ago, and he got what almost looked like a lazy two or three for in his first spell. You know, he utilized the new ball, bowled a pretty foolish attacking length, and he naturally, I think his natural ball is an away swinger. And I remember it got a bit later in the day, towards the evening. And for whatever reason, for him, this was his cue to ramp it up. And he literally started bowling rockets, like really quick, at the kind of middle order and stuff. So he got the top order out. And then, yeah, he just had another gear where it was like, right, now I'm taking it to another level. Ball's not doing so much. I'm going to raise it 5 mile an hour. And it was, yeah, it was rapid, mate. And obviously he's having great success at the minute, isn't it? It seems like everywhere he goes, he's doing really well. But he would be someone I've seen, and you've probably played against him more recently than me.
Yeah, he's up there for me. Really, really good bowler. And like you just said there, which that can be a cue for actually trying to ramp it up, is when the ball's not doing as much, which might be a thing that he does and goes, right, while there's a good seam on it, it's nice and shiny, swinging, he's going to do that at early to mid-80s or whatever it is. And then as the lacquer comes off, the ball gets a bit older, right, I'm going to have to look at bowling differently and add an extra yard of pace. That's something that's going through the gears, and that's a smart way of bowling. I think he's a very good bowler. And I think that anyone out there watching could do with watching him and definitely learning off how he goes about his business.
We talk about Mohammed Abbas a lot, don't we? Because obviously we've both played with him, and he's a lovely fella and obviously really good bowler. Does he do that well at Hampshire? Because there's some good stories from Leicester about him going through the gears, which I'm happy to share.
Mal's really... is a weird one because he keeps himself to himself and he doesn't really get into battles with any batsmen, but if you do give him a little bit of chirp, I've seen him go, he really does ramp it up in his bowling, and he's that's when you see him go through the gears even more so. But I think sometimes when he picks up one or two wickets early, you just see him just add a good yard of pace without even trying. He's someone who works through the gears within his overs. I watch him, and he will, at times, you think that there's two balls in that over, just seemed a lot sharper than the others. And you can't really tell. It's only from his wrist, that little bit extra he gets from his wrist, where he just ramps it up another 5 mile an hour, and it's accurate as always. And the batter is kind of shocked of, oh, that's done a bit extra, or what's that done? I love Mal. I think he's great at what he does.
So forgive me here. So this story is from the year before I was at Leicester. And I can't remember the county, so I could be wrong. But I think it was either Northants or Derby. And allegedly, on one of the days, maybe day two, end of day two, I think they hadn't served. They didn't have any halal food, right? They didn't have any options for him to eat. So he literally was like, right, I'm done. I'm leaving this town. He literally just bowled. I think it was Derby. Literally bowled him out in a session. And then basically packed his bags and went home. The wicket was doing a bit. And he was like, right, I'm not staying. I've got no food. And he is a food-driven man. We've talked about Bassey and him loving lamb before. And he bowled Derby out. Another one where he did something similar was against Durham at Grace Road once, down the hill. And quite often, as is typical, the wind follows the slope, I swear. So he wanted to bowl down, and the wind was particularly strong. So I think Neil Dexter opened the bowling up the hill, because it was literally like no one could get up it up the hill into the wind. It was a joke. So he came down the hill and obviously realized how important it was, and he literally got like, I think he got 10 for in a day against Durham. And he could just turn it on, frankly. I think that go on.
So when you look at the best attack in the world, it's the Australian bowlers, isn't it? You look at Cummings.
So.
What do you think they've always bowled quick from like when they first started? Have they tried to bowl quick, Or is it something that the body's grown and developed and they've ended up just clicking at the right time?
Well, you know what? This is a little bit of a source of frustration for me, is that people don't analyze things quite well enough. And what you've got to understand is, if you grow up playing cricket in Australia and you're going to be a professional bowler, that they're tough conditions physically. It's hot, it's hard, wickets tend to be flat. So I think that's why they specifically produce naturally big, strong lads who go through great gym programs. And the end result is you get these Pat Cummins, these Hazelwoods, because I think you can't operate really there. You can't really operate less than 83 mile an hour there, can you? Do you know what I mean? Whereas, and it's not the English player's fault. You can have a brilliant career in the UK and you can operate below 80 mile an hour. There's heaps of guys that can. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. And I think that's important when we talk about pace, is that actually don't get caught up in it too much. Obviously, it's exciting, but if you aren't quick, you can still find ways to be quick and do really well. So going back to the Aussies, like Pat Cummins, but he's always been rapid, hasn't he? I think Hazelwood has probably put on a bit of pace.
Yeah.
And obviously, his mantra, he was accurate and bouncy, wasn't he? And he's added a yard. And I remember us being in a car with Matt Wade once, and he said Stark when he wanted to. When he pulled the chain, he said that Stark was absolutely rapid. And obviously, he swings it and his left arm. You know what, though? All of these guys, they do something with the ball. They don't bowl quick and gun barrel straight. I think that's something that, again, I see a little bit that can be quite frustrating. I remember once when I was at Essex, there was this quite exciting young bowler. I'm not going to mention names. Don't want to get in trouble. And he used to have a really natural, sort of slippery away swinger. And he would be in the camp of... he would surprise batters with pace. So he wasn't like an out-and-out blast you out. He was a guy who would commit batsmen on the front foot and then they'd nick it and they'd be like, oh, that had a bit more energy on the ball than I thought and stuff. That was him. And he got coached that the sort of Brett Lee model, which we've talked about in the Pop Welch podcast. And he started doing all like the locking it in and stuff. And he lost his away swing and he ended up bowling like... just gun barrel, if anything, slight in swingers, and they just didn't have the energy on it. And he maybe got a yard quicker in the air, but it just made him a worse bowler.
Yeah, that's something that's the counterbalance, isn't it? Of you wanting to get quicker, you can lose something that you naturally had, and that's the balance of, you know, if you are looking to get quicker, you've still got to keep your body in the same position, wrist in the same position, everything's got to be stronger. But you're trying to do it obviously a little bit quicker. So, yeah, I do hate those trends. It happens all the time. Every year there's something that, oh, this person does this. And like, yeah, there's there's rumours of another one. I'm not sure I can say. But there was the Brett Lee one of, you know, in his band, how he gathered, tucking his arm in and all that stuff. That's not what made him quick. So don't follow crap trends. You know, you've got to look more into detail of finding out what it is that makes someone quick. Not just, well, they do this, so it must be that. There's so many different things that can go into it, whether it's the how they brace the front leg. There's a lot of people who want to bowl quick who have bent front knees. And everyone talks about, yeah, the perfect way of bowling quick is to have a brace front knee. Yes, if it's natural to you. And you can go from bent front knee or a collapsed front knee to bracing your front leg, but the chances are, especially if you're late teens, if you've gone from having a collapsed front knee and then bracing it, chances are your body's not used to that and you're gonna have some knock-on effects down the line. There's no reason why you can't get stronger on your front leg and maybe not have your knee as collapsed, but don't think that you have to be fully braced for you to be able to bowl quick. Don't like how you get too many people coaching that it's wrong and you don't understand bowling enough. I'm gonna say it, you don't. If you think that you can get someone who's got a really bad bad front leg that just collapses all the time. You can't chuck them and go, yeah, that's what you do, brace your front leg. You're going to ruin the body and they're going to end up with some type of injury down the line. I promise you.
I agree. I think one thing with the whole brace front leg is it's one of a few markers of pace. It doesn't mean that you have to have it. Sure, it helps, but it doesn't mean that you can't bowl quick. Someone like Mornay Morkel, absolutely rapid. Don't want to face him. I haven't faced him. I never want to face him. He had a bent front leg. But obviously, the point is, he's 6 foot, whatever, and he uses other natural features. It's what I would say is, I feel like this is not been negative. That's the wrong word. But we're not saying pace isn't really good. So if I look at myself personally, and one of our other teammates, Chris Wokes, I think we're examples of bowlers who have had shape and then added pace after, if that makes sense. So let's use Wokesy. Wokesy is a good example. He had a very natural wrist, would swing it, had all the skills. And then the challenge for him was to find the level of pace to play test cricket, which ultimately he did. And he's brilliant. So in the right cases, searching for more pace is really good. However, if you're naturally quick, good luck to you. Like, and there are plenty of them, but then you need to learn how to bowl. Whereas I feel if you go the other way and you know how to bowl, then and you add that yard, then I think it can be really exciting.
Yeah. And something I think you said before we started about pace is, if you're not, you've got to be trying to bowl quick. If you want to be seen as bowling quick, you've got to really try when you let go of that ball. You can't just think it's going to happen. That's the other side of it. Yeah, I want to bowl quick. Then you run up, and there's nothing. You could look at your run up, how you are at the crease, if you're falling away, all these things that add up. And if you're not trying at the crease, then you're never going to bowl quick. The other thing I was going to mention actually is run up is really important. Run up speed. There is an optimum pace that you can run into bowl and land at the crease and still have all the power you need to let go of that ball in the right ways. But you've got to find that pace. Sometimes you can run up maybe a little bit too quick and your timings can be out with your arms when you're actually bowling. Sometimes you may bound too much in the air and lose momentum from your run up. So you've got to find that balance of what works best. And whether it's the keeper that's playing or whatever, get a bit of feedback off them. Find out how you bowled that day or that game or that spell.
I think, again, this podcast has gone in so many different directions, but it's been good fun. When you say about pace there, I kind of agree. So if I think of like a javelin, for instance, if the only thing you had to care about was bowling as quick as you could, not worrying about movement or accuracy or anything like that, you would run in as quick as you could, put the handbrake on and just hurl it down there. Now, quite clearly, I don't think that you'd be in a good position to actually bowl well. I'm pretty sure in that scenario, you wouldn't, like you say, have the control element that you need. You need to, like you say, there's always this sweet spot. And if you get it right, then you're still able to move the ball, be accurate, get bounce rather than just air speed, which is obviously really important. So I sort of, the wildness of javelin, although it's obviously a key, training wise, it's often referenced javelin throwers training to bowling. However, you do need to have more finesse than that. You can't just hurl it down. I mean, there's a couple of bowlers, I think like a Sean Tate perhaps, who genuinely hurled the thing down. But if you think about Brett Lee, for example, if you're comparing those two, Brett Lee actually swung the ball, didn't he? He actually got in a good position, to be fair to him, and got away shape with a new ball. And for his high speeds was pretty accurate, to be fair. I think you mentioned about intent. For me, that's the number one. I think if anyone says they want to bowl quicker, absolutely. And then say, well, are you trying? Are you kind of, you've got to explore your ceiling, haven't you, by getting your body used to being as quick as you can and as snappy as you can. Because it's initially it's uncomfortable, isn't it, trying to bowl quicker?
Yeah. Do you know what? For me, it was like I never bowled a bouncer till you came and spoke about bouncers. And, you know, when you first start trying to bowl a bouncer, and first of all, you're trying to get your length right. And then you're trying to get a little bit of extra zip with it. It takes time. It feels horrible at first because you're just exploring. But the more you do it, the more natural it becomes, the easier it is to execute it. So just like you said there, trying to bowl quick, you've got to push your boundaries, know where your ceiling is, and know where you lose potentially the shape of if you do swing it away quite nicely, but actually realize when you do start to pull quicker or whatever it is you may do, trying hard at the crease, when you start to lose that shape, that's where you've got to look back and go, right, this is probably my optimum pace here where I'm still getting the ball to swing, or I need to correct my wrist because I must be losing my wrist or my front side or whatever it is. I've got to keep all this aligned to bowl quicker and still have the shape that I naturally do have.
Spot on. And actually, a good way to think about it is to flip yourself into the batter's shoes. What would you rather face? I'll ask you this now, Keith. Would you rather face 88 mile an hour, dead straight, or 85 mile an hour that was swinging?
Oh, 88, dead straight. Yeah.
You'd rather face, exactly. So actually, that has to be a consideration. Like, there's no point. And that, Dale Steyn, actually, who you could argue he's certainly in the top 10 bowlers of all time, quite possibly in the top five of all time. I think he's got the best strike record in Test cricket. Wonderful bowler. Bowled rapid. Came to Essex. And I think Andy Flower took him aside. And he didn't have the best time at Essex. Andy Flower pulled him and was like, you're bowling gun barrel. You're bowling dead straight. You know, you've got to move the ball. You've got to do something. So the result of that, I'm not saying the only result. There's obviously other things that made Dale Steyn great. But I think when he came back after that stint, he learned how to swing it a bit more. And then what you saw was him bowling these really slippery, quick away swingers with an effort ball bumper, quite a simple game plan. But it was almost that shape that took him to that level. I think if you search online, there's clips, isn't there, of him just bowling big away swingers and just knocking bloke stumps over. I think you're like Michael Vaughan. In South Africa, I literally can picture that now. So you've got to, sure, be as quick as you can, but make sure you move the ball. Otherwise, batsmen now, it's like Clarkie said on the podcast with him, they'll set the bowling machine up. And to be honest, batters can really overtrain for pace, can't they?
Yeah.
It's not hard to get on a bowling machine and just incrementally make it quicker and quicker and quicker and quicker and get and raise what you can handle as a batter. We as bowlers don't have the luxury of training that way because of the physical limitations. So you've got to be skillful in some way. Again, I'm not saying don't be quick. I want to confirm that because, like,
we all want to be quick.
Exactly. And I put on a yard or two, and it really transformed me and helped me. So absolutely do it, but do not do it at the expense of skill. Can I counter what I've just said?
Go on.
When you're young, and I'm talking like the minute you start playing to, I'd say, maybe 15, you should be trying to bowl as quick as you can. And you shouldn't really be caring about too. I don't think you should be caring about too much. You should be in your garden, playing your games. You should be steaming in, copying your favourite bowler, trying to bowl rapid. I'm all for that. But yeah.
Yeah, I think I agree with that to a certain point. Obviously, if your bowling action is all over the place, then you need someone to kind of fix that a little bit. But your intent is still to bowl as quick as you can. I think that is something that the Aussies probably have done growing up. The Aussie quicks is, like you said, there's not much room for error in the wickets they'll play on. So you have to find something else that can give you a little bit of an edge. And that's why you see most Aussies are pretty quick when they get selected for international duty. Question, what pace is quick enough that it doesn't matter what the ball does? What would you,
if you are going to bowl gun barrel?
Yeah. When's that all right?
Well, in reality, it probably has to be. It has to be over 90 mile an hour, doesn't it? To go dead straight.
Yeah.
It has to be. Yeah.
Is there any?
What about you? What do you think?
Yeah, when I think you were that quick, I think then, if you can just work on having the ball come down a little bit scrambled, a little bit of wobble on it, you're naturally going to get the ball. Because of the pace, that ball digging into the wicket is going to move some way, shape or form. And also, if a ball does get reversing, then you are going to get it to move at serious pace. So yeah, I'd say anything of 90 and above is do what you want.
So we've got on for half an hour, so we're nearly at the end. One thing I'm keen to do is, if you are quick, brilliant. I'm really happy for you. For lots of people listening to this, so I'm thinking nearly everyone that's playing club cricket, right, who aren't 90 mile an hour. If you're 90 mile an hour playing club cricket, give me and Keith a call and we'll be your agent. We'll sort you out somewhere. So if you are playing club cricket, anything like that, and you aren't quick in terms of a speed gun, right? So you're below 80 mile an hour. This is where we can get some tips in, right? Go on. What would you do if you're never going to be over 80 mile an hour? How can you deceive the batsman with pace? What like little tips and things can we give the viewers and listeners?
Well, bouncer is the first thing that pops into mind. I think you've got to work on your bouncering. Get that up pace-wise as quick as you can and accurate. The more accurate you are, the quicker it can seem, anyway, in my eyes. I think we have discussed in the past, me to Vian, when I bounced him, when the coaches said don't bounce him, that went through pretty quick and actually bought me a wicket the next time we played. So I think bouncer will be the first thing. And I think also is something I mentioned is, there's airspeed, which some people try harder, and the airspeed is up there. It kisses the wicket and zips through quicker. Where some people try harder and are in strong positions, but they will hit the bat harder, not really seem as though they bowl quick, but the batsman is aware that, you know, they've hit the splice quite hard. So you can still try harder, and you might not get the same effect of what you would see as pace, but energy in the ball could be a difference, which can help. For anyone who's bowling under 80, I think if you can get the ball to move and with effort behind it, you're going to make it feel a little bit more uncomfortable for the batter to kind of be on edge with how they go about their business.
Well, I know for a fact that you've played against Jimmy Anderson, because we've talked about your beef with him, which was brilliant. So facing him, as a good example, you don't think of him as being fast, although he used to be rapid. So played a game against him once and Saj Mahmood. So Saj Mahmood at that point was considered Lancashire's enforcer and their quick bowler. Anderson felt much quicker than Mahmood, because you always had to wait for the ball. Like you're like, is this an in-swinger? Is it an away-swinger? Is it a wobble seam or whatever? And you essentially, with Anderson, you had to play the ball so late it felt quick. Do you know what I mean? Because you just didn't know what was going on. So like you said there, movement is key. Like if you're bowling and you've got a few different skill variations up your sleeve, then that makes batters sort of hold back. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think, that's absolutely vital. Using the short ball, and actually don't worry about the outcome. The whole point of it, especially if you set your field properly, if a batsman plays it really well, good luck to him. But it's about the message it sends. I would say that when you do bowl bumper, that is everything you've got. That is 110% of your effort. I'm trying to think if there's anything else in terms of surprise, making, you know, surprising a batter with your speed. But I think a lot of it is down to like zip off the pitch, which isn't, like you say, necessarily air speed. Like if you present a seam perfectly, it is quicker off the pitch than something that's cross seam or whatever. So yeah, they're kind of my thoughts. Have we got anything else that we should add before we wrap it up?
To wrap it up, mate, I think the most important thing is you want to be trying harder. You've got to have keep your technique, your alignment, the things that you do when you're potentially swinging the ball or getting the ball to move off the wicket. You've got to keep all that in check. Nothing changes. You've just got to have a bit more intent behind you. Using your run-up, make sure you run up, you're running in at optimal pace. And yeah, you know, push your boundaries. See how far your ceiling is before you start to lose your shape with the ball or the ball's not nipping off the wicket. You've got to explore that ceiling to know where you're at, because you might find actually your ceiling is quite high.
No, completely agree. I tell you what, I do realise we have forgotten a little bit to touch on here. And perhaps we save it for another podcast now, is the role of strength and conditioning in preparing you to bowl as quick as you can or optimally at your optimal speed. Because it should be slightly different for every individual. You know, it might be that you're really fast twitch by nature, and that actually a kind of simple-ish strength program can help you find something. I personally feel that I was in that category a little bit. Equally, it might be that you've got a great base of strength and you feel a bit, you know, not sluggish is the wrong word, but you know, you need to work on those fast twitch fibers a bit and stuff like that, in which case you should be doing stuff that's slightly different. But I think that is probably another episode in itself. So should we wrap it up there, mate?
Yeah, mate.
Cool. Well, look, again, really enjoyable. Hopefully listening and viewing, you got value from it. As always, engage with us, leave us some comments, like, follow and subscribe.
Remember, I will play. Bowl it.
Go on. Yeah. I like that. Right. I'm going to put the exit tune on. I'm going to remember it this time. Right. Take it easy, everyone. And we'll see you soon.
Cheers.